Are we recording?
We have begun.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Matthew. I'm welcoming you to my little town, Cozy Pants, which is a podcast and a place.
Cozy, 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 cozy.
How did you know I wanted to talk about cats?
Pants.
James, it's at the top of my list this week.
Cozy. Cozy pants in the moonlight.
Look at those pants.
I sat in the litter. I got it stuck to my butt.
Yuck.
Meow, meow, help me.
Are you stuck
I
in the litter?
Put my cozy pants on.
Oh.
Someone help me. Stand back up.
Meow, 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 meow. Should this just become a podcast where we sing about cats to each other?
Well, hey, now, have you ever seen a cat so clever as magical Mr. Mistopheles?
You know, when I was a kid, I thought that that was what the show was. I thought Magical Mr. Mistopheles was the name of the show, which sounds pretty inviting. As the name of a show, it's a lot more exciting than cats.
The idea of a singing cat is not inherently a bad one.
Mm. What did you tell somebody that that show was about?
Oh, well, my grandmother was afraid of cats. She hated cats, and yet she decorated her house almost entirely with images of cats. But she was terrified of cats. She told a gleeful story about how her mother once threw a cat out of a third-story window. It was one of her favorite stories to tell.
Okay.
When one of the 15 Irish babies was born in the turn of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that, but they were lace curtain Irish, so it was okay. That was a distinction. They weren't washerwoman Irish. They were lace curtain Irish. But anyway, there was a babby, because there was always a babby, and a cat came through the window. And her mother just picked the cat up and threw it out the window.
Well, that's not the feel-good story I was hoping you would tell.
Because it would steal the breath of the babby.
Uh-huh.
And you have to watch out. You can never leave a babby with a cat because the cat will steal its breath.
Mm-hmm.
But that grandmother, when the production of Cats, the Android Webber musical, came to the Songus Center in Lowell, Massachusetts, she was considering indulging my faggotry by taking me to Cats until I told her that what the show is they sing a little song and then they spend the rest of the show throwing live cats into the audience.
I wish that was the show.
I mean, it's not that different. They do come out and assault the audience at one point.
Oh, boy, meow, boy, meow, boy, meow, do they ever. Meow, well, I guess they're meow, making a movie out of it now. Starring
what?
Sir Ian McKellen.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah, you didn't see? This is why it's on my list.
Is he the white leotard cat? I thought it was because Joanne talked about it.
Oh, maybe it was because Joanne talked about it.
Yeah, that's why it's on your list.
But I think Joanne talked about it because Ian McKellen talked about it.
No, she went to a production of Cats, Matthew. She saw a production of Cats.
Okay.
In the flesh, in the fur.
But everyone's excited about it because of Ian McKellen.
Is anyone excited about it? Is Ian McKellen excited about it?
I don't know. He posted a picture.
Oh, my goodness. What a wizard.
Can you even imagine? Is this what Gordon Ramsay is going to reveal?
Oh, no. Is that why he had a furry shadow?
I think this might be it. I think Gordon Ramsay might be in Cats.
Gordon the kitchen cat.
Oh, God. Is that an actual character?
No.
Oh.
But they could invent a new one.
Now. Okay. Because I would totally would not put it past T.S. Eliot to have a character called Gordon the Kitchen Cat.
Sure. Gordon Ramsay, the cat in Cats. That's almost got me interested, because just what is that?
It is very, what are you doing?
Huh. Hell's Kittens.
Jesus, yes. That should be the title.
Of what, the sequel to Cats?
Yes.
Oh, because it is sort of about the afterlife of cats, sort of. It's about anything
at
all.
Yes, so Grisabella the bad cat goes to hell.
Bad? She goes to heaven at the end. She sings about her memories.
People with memories go to hell.
Oh, okay. I mean, she's got regrets. Did a lot of living. That's true.
She caused problems.
What? Did she? What did she cause?
She jumped in the window and stole the baby's breath.
Well, they Yeah, that is what she did. It's true. She also tipped over Mrs. O'Leary's cow.
Oh, no.
What, another Irish washerwoman with the 15 children.
Oh, boy. The cow?
Yes, Mrs. O'Leary was the cow. E-I-E-I-O.
My favorite. James, yeah. I love when you recite poetry to me. It's so romantic.
Mrs. O'Leary was the cow. E-I-E-I-O. Human babies from a cow. Mrs. O'Leary's cow. Moo moo.
Burn it down.
They did. That's what that's what Grisabella was responsible for.
Oh. For some reason, wasn't there something about Garfield being present in the Great Fire?
What?
I could have sworn there's something like Garfield back in time for the fire, for the Chicago fire.
Well, there were Garfield's nine lives where he was in ancient Egypt.
Oh.
And he was on a pirate ship, I think. I don't know that he ever made love to Mrs. O'Leary's cow. A cat's penis is barbed. And so is their tongue. So really,
and so is their wit.
But, you know, they say if you can't have it in the hips, you better get it on your lips. But for a cat,
what does
either
that refer
way,
to?
You're going to get scraped, Matthew. Mm. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad that this is where we are.
But the problem with the babby is the cat wants its breath.
Yeah.
And that's what the whole show is about, right?
What is so special about the breath of a babby that a cat would want it? Like, why not anybody's breath?
Well, you know, a witch cat can close a door.
Any, what?
Any cat can open a door, but only a witch cat can close a door.
Mm.
Now,
what about a sandwich cat?
I cannot speak to that. That's all hearsay and conjecture. But what I can say is that a cat wants a babby's breath to give it to the witch.
Earlier today, you were looking at Twitter.
Was I?
And you called me over, I think, or maybe I was just looming over you.
Yeah.
And you were like, look at this. And I looked at your screen, and it was just a picture of a cat with a crown on its head.
It was. It was tweeted by a pornograph man.
Oh, that's right. A porn person tweeted that.
And there's a nice pornograph man who tweets sometimes. He tweets his generous genitals, but he also tweets a picture of a cat with a crown.
It's a sensitive pornograph.
It's a sensitive pornograph.
That was, wait, what was a sensitive pornograph? That was something in college.
It's a yowie.
Oh, that's right.
It makes
right.
you say, yowie, when
that's
the
right.
cat...
It was a comic book.
Well, no, it was a
Wasn't
video
it?
Production.
Oh.
You would watch the video production play out before your eyes,
really?
The sensitive pornograph.
I could have sworn it was a comic.
I mean, it may be that as well.
Oh,
it,
sure.
it would be a manga. Mm-hmm. But if you were to watch it with your eyes play out before you, like rum-tum-tugger, then you would see that it has one story about a young man who's supposed to babysit a rabbit, but the rabbit is a nude boy in bondage who makes use of the babysitter's penis,
yes.
much to his chagrin.
Now I remember, you showed me this.
And then there's another tale, I may have them out of order, about a guy who draws comics. And then there's another guy who's like, I just want you to eat my ass. And so...
We all have dreams.
They write a comic together about asses, I think. I don't know. It's all part of Rum Tum Tugger's magical Mr. Mistoffely.
So a cat steals a baby's breath and gives it to a witch? Is that what you said?
Oh, yes. The cat the cat.
Does the cat
sneaks
store it like
the...
in a dewlap?
Well, that's why they have all those stomachs. The
what?
Cat steals the babby's breath and then travels the night mewling, looking for Mueller in his investigations. But when he can't find that, he finds a witch and he trades the babby's breath, which witches are very interested in, for some nice milk. Cold as a witch's titty. And the witch's titty produces cold milk. And the cats think it's great.
If you shake a witch, do you get a milkshake?
Well... it depends on how fresh she is.
Do you remember when we were in college, there was a commercial for Carl's Jr. milkshakes that had a man just rubbing against a cow and shaking the cow?
I don't remember that.
It was...
Is that the original Mr. O'Leary?
Now, I seem to recall that he was an attractive man, but I may be misremembering this. It was an ad for Carl's Jr. milkshakes, and it was the song, My Milkshake Brings All the Boys to the Yard, and it was a man... rubbing against a cow and shaking it and then drinking a milkshake. And we were to think, I suppose, that he shook the cow and then squeezed its breast into a Carl's Jr. cup.
But the foolishness of this is you'd get butter.
Oh, I suppose
you
that's
wouldn't
true.
Get a milkshake at all. You'd get butter.
That's
wouldn't
I,
you?
I Honestly, I don't know how a milkshake is made.
Yes, you do.
Oh,
what?
We've made them. We've made them. You just put ice cream and milk in a blender, right?
Sure. Now, you've got to be certain that you're getting a frap and not a fribble.
Oh, that is very true. That is a risk.
No, you may want a fribble. You see,
I want a happy ending.
I bet you do. A very particular New Englandism is that a milkshake in New England has no ice cream.
Mm.
A milkshake is just milk and like chocolate syrup shaken up. It's just chocolate milk is all it is.
Hmm.
Or it could be a strawberry milk if you have a strawberry. But you can order a frap if you want ice cream in it. Cut the crap. I want a frap.
That was the very successful Friendly's marketing slogan.
It was the most friendly slogan. My grandmother, mm-hmm. when she was done stealing breath from babies in her cat form, would go to an ice creamery and she would say, I want a hot fudge. Hello, you know me. Judy, you know, Manny's wife. I want a hot fudge sundae, and you're not going to screw me. I want hot fudge and extra whipped cream. And then they would bring it to her, and she'd go, oh, no. Oh, no. Extra whipped cream. And she would keep sending it back until she had a sufficient amount.
Who sends back an ice cream
cone?
And
then it was a sundae, not a cone, so there you go. And inevitably, it would just fall all over her. it would just fall because it was too much. The whipped cream to foundation ratio was unsound.
James, this is like a comedy sketch. Oh, but and that whipped cream caused a calamity at one point, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I know we've talked about this before, but why not? We were at the parking lot of Geary's, she called it. She refused to call it Meadowlands, which is what it was actually called.
Where did Geary's come from?
I think at one point the Geary family owned it. Maybe they still owned it. Mrs. O'Geary, it was her own teats that produced the milk.
Uh-huh.
And she'd go up to the counter, oh no, you're not going to screw me. Screwed again. You're not going to screw me this time. Extra whipped cream. And so she'd get her whipped cream, and she was walking across the parking lot, savoring her victory over the Geary family.
Uh-huh.
They were defeated in disgrace,
because
they didn't screw her this time. And as she was walking back to her automobile, a car backed in to another car and caused a kerfuffle, and she insisted that it was because the driver couldn't take their eyes off all that whipped cream. Oh, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't take their eyes off all the whipped cream. And so she was just saying this over and over and over again. And she was sort of a witness. So, like, the driver asked her to stick around. And eventually the driver was like, she was like, oh, my grandma is like eating the sundae. And the driver...
It's evidence.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's a very good point. Because it does factor in. And so, she's going on and on. She was like, oh, I know, you just couldn't take your eyes off all this whipped cream. The other driver was like, no, your sundae was about to fall over. And she was like, oh.
But it was a distraction.
I guess, but, you know, but the narrative here
is
that she just couldn't believe all that whipped cream. Oh, they try to screw you here. It's a real screw job. But you keep sending it back and you'll get that extra whipped cream.
Oh, those poor ice cream people.
Oh, the poor everybody.
Sure.
I mean, you know, every restaurant, it was... Now, is there any cheese on this? Because I am on an MAOI inhibitor and I will die if I eat any cheese. So is there any cheese in this? And they would check and tell her yes or no. And then she had a whole list of other things that she wasn't supposed to eat. Cheese was on the list, but maybe a Godiva. She wasn't supposed to have chocolate, but she would hide Godivas around the house. Oh, yes.
Good. Good.
Oh, yes. There was a hole torn in the back of the couch, and you could reach in there.
Sorry,
there's a hole torn in the upholstery in the back of the couch.
By what?
You could just By her! You could just reach back around the back of the couch into it and just pull out chocolate any time of the year.
What? This is a dream, James!
It's not! It's... Oh, a Godiva. Oh, you'll never find where I hide my Godiva.
No, I
mean, there were many hiding places, but the couch was one of them.
This is, you know, some people who lived through the Depression distrust banks and would hide their money in unusual places.
Mm.
It sounds like she didn't want to do that, but she had other valuables to conceal from the cops or the burglars?
The Godiva is a premium chocolate.
Why did she hide them?
So no one else could have them. And also, there was a theory that if she hid them, she wouldn't be tempted to eat them because it was sort of out of sight, out of mind. She'd have to make an extra effort to go to the hiding place.
Doesn't seem like she made that much effort. Well, she just tore a hole in the upholstery.
Well, there were many hiding places, but she would also place a curse on the chocolate.
Oh.
And so the curse was, may God strike the baby Brianna dead if I eat another fucking piece of chocolate. And then she would eat the chocolate.
Okay.
And say, oh, I had my fingers crossed. which is how curses work in the Bible.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And as any witch will tell you.
The way you empower the curse... Mm-hmm. is with a dose of Babby's breath.
Mm. So you take a breath from the Babby Brianna.
Well, that it was going to be struck dead.
Mm. Well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
It didn't happen, and the Godivas were safe for now.
But for how long?
But for too long.
Well, I'll tell you one type of animal I don't object to.
Cat?
Shetland ponies.
Oh, tell me about the Shetland ponies.
Shetland.
That's what I said.
You said Shetland.
I never did.
Yes, you did. James, are you aware that we're recording?
I am not aware of anything right now.
Sound a bit tired.
Oh, we always record Cozy Pants when I am at the end of my natural lifespan.
How are you doing today?
I'm very sleepy.
Okay, well, I like you when you're sleepy because that means that I can cuddle you.
Not in podcast form.
Yes, James. James, because it's an audio medium, I can say anything. I'm cuddling you right now.
It's theater of the mind.
Theater of my loins. Anyway, Shetland ponies.
Yes.
I saw a tweet a few days ago from the official Shetland Twitter.
Yes. The official Shetland Twitter?
Yes. Of what? Shetland County? I think it's a county, right?
Prefecture.
Telling us about... basically, it was a come visit Shetland, look at how pretty it is.
Pretty
and they
pony.
The tweet introduced us to Bjorn and Tor.
Oh, my goodness.
Two men, two partners, life partners.
Oh, my.
Partners in life and partners in ponies.
Pony partners.
They have a farm on the Shetland Highland fields where they just raise miniature ponies.
Oh, my.
Together
goodness.
As a couple, and they wear cute sweaters. And they're really cute.
The ponies do?
The men wear sweaters, but I wouldn't put it past the ponies to wriggle into one.
I'd never put anything past a pony.
Don't put it past a pony. James, it is the sweetest thing I've ever seen, and I've been thinking about it every day since then.
Like you too, is the sweetest thing. Do you want a pony ranch?
I wouldn't mind it. Now, here's the thing.
Yes.
Joanne says that Shetland ponies are mean.
Joanne knows. Joanne knows this business.
Yes. That I think she said they were jerks, or they're stubborn, or something like that, or bullies. I believe it.
Yes.
They might have a little pony Napoleon complex.
Oh, my God.
And anyway, but they do look real sweet.
I saw a tweet unrelated about a woman who discovered, I think it was a woman, I don't know, I don't want to misgender the tweeter, but somebody discovered that by night, their corgi would go out and ride a pony.
Okay.
There was security camera footage.
What?
Of at night, the corgi would go and just sit on a pony.
Well, that is appropriate because that makes me feel very secure.
What?
Knowing that there's...
Oh, security camera, yes.
Knowing that there is somewhere out there
a
little corgi who's riding the pony, patrolling at night,
yep.
making sure there are no malefactors or evildoers or burglars coming to steal my chocolate.
Sure, the Godiva.
The Godiva. That he's on patrol together. They're fighting crime.
Oh, my goodness.
And maybe kissing.
The pony and the pooch. Well, I don't know. Is that okay for a pony to kiss a pooch?
Well, they're friends.
It's oh, just, I see. It's just a friend kiss.
Platonic, like on the Gary Shandling show.
The Gary Shandling show.
This is a part of the theme song where we have the credits. Mm-hmm. We're almost halfway through. How do you like it so far? The opening theme to Gary Shandling show. Why do I know that?
I don't know. But wait, he was platonic with a dog?
No. He had a platonic next door neighbor.
Like the platonic ideal of a next door neighbor? Because that would be Kramer, wouldn't it?
No, they were just friends. But he would always introduce her as his platonic friend or his platonic neighbor or something like that.
Platonic neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because she's from Pluto. No. Oh. They were just friends. Anyway, this is all to say that the men who breed ponies are named Bjorn and Tor.
Yes.
And if you flip that around, it's Torbjorn from Overwatch.
Oh, from Overwatch. He is a dwarf, and he would be fun on a pony.
Oh, the Shetland pony of men.
What?
A dwarf.
Huh? Oh, I see. Sure. Yeah, Torbjorn, maybe this is where he comes from. Maybe somebody was like, look at these two. Let's make them an Overwatch character.
Together. We'll combine them.
Yes.
Combine them and their ponies.
But because they raise miniature horses, they'll be miniature men.
That's real cute.
What? Do they make love?
Well, I assume. Just imagine the lovely, cozy love that they make in their sweaters.
Well, you know,
they're scratchy pony sweaters.
Don't make sweaters out of ponies, or don't make ponies out of sweaters.
Don't let your boys grow up to be sweaters.
Don't do it. That the love that we made in the bed, that was me, and I'm not going to fade when you close your eyes? Is that what Alana said to Dave Coulier?
Oh, I thought this was more Gary Shandling theme song.
You know, they probably are the same song.
You know, I don't think I've ever heard the song. I know that there's a song where Alana is singing about somebody she's mad at.
She would go down
on him.
Oh,
no, I do
know
that one. But the love that you made when you sighed, when you said, when you came to my bed and you said good day.
Oh my goodness, that's absolutely right.
Is that all right? Is that my time?
Yep, that's how it goes. I could do the rest of it.
And a bagel in the world is better than a bagel in the bush because it's buttered and you've got it on your tush.
Mm-hmm.
That's Mr. Fine.
Mr. Fine.
My chocolate brine.
Oh my goodness.
That's the song.
That is Alanis's biggest hit. I saw her do a performance with Tori Amos.
Where was this?
It was a double feature.
Was this also at the Songa Center?
I think it was not at the Songa Center. It might have been at the Foxborough Stadium, actually.
Mm.
Home of
the
Super Bowl winners, the New England Patriots. I didn't watch it, and I don't know what happened.
Surely they must have won a Super Bowl at some point. Aren't they on, like, Super Bowl 70?
They're always
maybe that's the Oscars.
But I don't know if they won or if they were even actually in it. But I do know that sometimes you would go to a show with your buddy Joe, and you'd have a little blow job at Foxborough Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
That's their ad campaign. They go, hey,
come to the show with your buddy Joe.
Hey, you dummy, come out to the show at the Foxborough with your buddy Joe. Maybe he'll give you a blow job. Wicked.
That is a very Massachusetts commercial.
It is. It's like there are no bags at Spags and you save money.
Honey.
Oh, well, that didn't rhyme. Or Auto Mile.
Oh, James.
Auto Mile.
Yes. We come from a time when there were local television commercials.
Auto Mile.
Describe what's happening in this commercial where, like, that breathy voice is just...
Auto Mile. Just auto dealerships are flying by.
Yeah, it's just like somebody driving down the road, pointing a camera at a car at one auto dealership after another, right?
Auto Mile. Yeah, it's the Auto Mile. There was Maurice the Pants Man.
Mm-hmm.
There was Jordan's Furniture. Not the Marshmallow.
Confused. Oh, that's right. Yeah, the softest couch, wasn't it?
Get your ass in a Marshmallow. What's wrong with you?
Get your ass to Mars.
Hey, we've got the Motion Odyssey movie ride. Mom, only at Jordan's Furniture. Get your ass in a Marshmallow.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
The Motion Odyssey movie ride. You can pretend you're on a roller coaster as your ass goes to Marshmallow.
As your ass goes to Marshmallow.
Get your ass to Marshmallow.
That's such a good slogan for marshmallows.
Oh, Matthew. There was Jim Sokoloff.
Mm-hmm.
There,
your lawyer?
Of course, he was a personal injury attorney.
Did you have Salamone?
We didn't have Salamone. Wait, that's an opera.
Salome.
The Salamo, Salome, Salama.
Yeah, in Connecticut, we had a commercial for a lawyer or something where you see like a smoke-filled back room with deals being made by men in suits.
Sure.
And they're like, they're lawyers. And they're talking about how they're going to screw over the plaintiff, I guess,
screwed again.
Like in a personal injury thing, and they're cackling about how they're not going to pay out what they think they ought to. Mm. And one of them said, "Who's the lawyer representing this plaintiff?"
Mm-hmm.
And the other one says, "Salamone." And they all gasp. And one of them says, "Salamone. Let's settle this one."
Well, that's very operatic. Why isn't there an opera of Salamone?
Salamone.
Oh,
I just typed Salamone like to see if I could find the commercial, and the first thing it completed was Salamone Pizza. Maybe that was an ad for a pizza restaurant.
Maybe he wasn't a lawyer at all. Maybe he was a pizza. One of those New Haven style pizzas. Very fussy about the New Haven style pizza.
Oh, gosh. Oh, he's still making commercials, James.
I don't want that.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking like 1995.
Sure.
The law offices of Marky Salamone, 1-800-WIN-WIN-1.
Marky.
Marky Mark Salamone.
Oh, my goodness, his underpants.
I can't believe he's still in business.
I can't believe it's not butter.
Then sue him.
No, I've heard that the lawyer...
Better settle this one.
Salamone.
Anyway, the point is, I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Oh, we also had Bob's Discount Furniture, of course.
Oh, we had that, but what was that?
Bob's Discount Furniture. So his deal was that he'd, you know, just shout at you about his furniture, but you'd never see him walk.
What?
So he would just stand. He would always stand still.
Okay.
And it was something very strange about the commercials. Like, he'd always be standing there in kind of a pose, but, like, he would never take a step. And it turned out he was in some sort of like motorcycle accident.
What?
And he could move around. It was just, he was a slow walker or something like that.
What?
And so you never saw him walk in his commercials.
You know, there are many commercial figures I've never seen walk. It's not a thing I really think about.
For some reason, that was something that it was pointed out at one point.
Huh. How pointy.
Yeah.
Did you have the school lunch lion?
Oh, of course. No, we did not.
Well,
I've heard about it only in...
Pizza! Dessert! He would... Oh, and Big Cheese and the Food Groupies.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have them?
No, I've only heard about them.
Did you have them? Did you have Robillard from Mars, who ate all kinds of candy bars?
That isn't familiar.
I'm Robillard, and I'm from Mars, and I eat all kinds of candy bars.
Oh, yes, of course.
But what's this? An Earth fruit?
It's me.
Yummy and not bad.
The reason that's unfamiliar to me is because Robillard, like he's a fat robot.
Okay.
But I always hear Robillard.
I thought
like
it was Robillard. He was not overweight, if I recall. He was in a tingle style, sparkly spandex. He was from Mars and he ate all kinds of candy bars, which sounds fine to me.
Honestly, it does. I just ate like half a thing of Oreos.
Sure. And you're yummy and not bad.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
I'm a good cookie.
You're a good cookie. That's what... and then there was the New England Aquarium where you could walk like a penguin.
What an ad. James, I'll tell you what. I walk like a penguin today for free.
I did as well. It's very slippery in Seattle. You've seen the sequel to Sleepless in Seattle, Slippery in Seattle.
Oh, it's gross.
It's very slippery. I, too, walked like a penguin because I had to carry pizza from, so far away back home.
You know,
and
Freya said it was a mile away. I don't think you have to walk
not
a mile.
A mile.
In
but
my shoes.
It's okay. But the thing is, you just walk like a penguin. You take small steps and you lean forward and you look out for seals.
But, I don't care about loose seals.
Oh my God. You've done it.
It's a beautiful snowy winterland in Seattle for the last few days. And as we're recording, there's maybe more snow coming down or more snow on the way. I'm really enjoying it, but it's also tough. if you need to go someplace.
It is.
I like it because I never leave the house.
Oh, yes, you do. You leave the house far more than I. There's
still not very much.
T.S. Eliot's Snow Joe the Blowcat. He said, "Oh, brr, I'm a chilly kitty. I feel real shitty when the snow comes down. Oh, no.
I've got a little
shiver. I'm gonna die tonight. Goodbye."
Did Cher and Elvis know each other?
They made love.
Did they?
Presumably. I think Elvis made love to everything.
Oh, okay. If you were alive back then, chances are Elvis made love to you at some point.
Sure. Maybe even if you weren't. Maybe he travels through time and space.
Oh.
Elvis has come unstuck in time. Matthew, he ate a banana sandwich.
Stuck in the bathtub like Taft.
Just like William Howard Taft. You know, there was that song by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Lying in the tub. Just like my friend Taft, the man, he wasn't able to get out without the help of the royal bursar.
We should talk about Model Land before you fall asleep, which may have already happened. I'm not sure.
I don't know what today is.
You haven't been talking in your sleep for the last 15 minutes.
Meow, 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 meow. First of all, yes. Joanne.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yes.
For going to Cats.
Oh, it's, yeah, of course.
Rite of passage that we all have to see Cats at some point. It is a bunch of poems that were never meant to be set to music, plus one decent song that is in the show for no reason other than I think Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote it for Betty Buckley because he was trying to make love to her. And he may have succeeded. I don't know. I think they might have been married for a while.
Oh.
Or is that Christine Baranski? Not that one.
No.
Christine Daae. Sarah Brightman. He definitely did things to her, Matthew, whether she liked it or not. Christine Angel. Christine Daae, the angel of music, knows what she is doing in her bedroom because he's peeping at her through the window.
It's another capricious act by a capricious man.
It really is. The Phantom of the Opera is the original MRA, but more importantly...
Meal Ready to Eat?
Yep, that's correct.
No, wait, Meal Ready to Eat.
That's correct. Here's the thing with Cats, Joanne.
Mm?
It's featured prominently in The End of Kimmy Schmidt, and The End of Kimmy Schmidt is a real emotional roller coaster because the show, when it was good, was very, very good, and when it was bad, it was rotten, and it has some real rottenness toward the end.
Yeah.
It's just not good in big chunks. But then every so often, there's a scene where you're like,
We're back.
Now they're cooking.
Yeah.
They've got extra whipped cream.
Yeah.
But mostly, no. And so Cats features prominently. And congratulations for having seen it for real. We all know that no cats go to heaven.
Oh, no, that's sad.
But they all get to live in this twilight garbage heap.
Yes.
With a garbage man who sings garbage songs to
That's
them.
All any of us can hope for. We should talk about Model Land before you fall asleep,
Model
James.
Land.
Chapter 5.
What's it called?
Smacking Into Mirrors.
Smacking Into Mirrors.
It's an arresting image. The idea of, like, bonking into mirrors and... colliding with your own reflection?
Confronting the side of yourself that is a forget-a-girl.
Now, the chapter opens fairly evocatively, I think.
Oh.
I think it's an effective start.
Evoke it in me.
So, Tookie is distressed because her room is a mess.
This spoke to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The room is divided into her side and her sister's side, and her sister's mess is constantly encroaching on Tookie's side. And she has no privacy and no agency over where anything is in her zone. She has no place to call her own.
There's a lot of bras.
Mm-hmm.
There's some socks.
It says that she's trying to enter the room, but a pile of leotards blocked her way.
Yes.
Imagine a pile of leotards so huge it blocks your ability to enter a room.
I've honestly seen that.
Well, no need to brag.
I've seen... Not just leotards, but I have seen...
Not just leotards?
Not just leotards, but I have seen a young lady's room.
Yeah.
in New Hampshire
mm-hmm.
with a pile of clothes so tall
mm-hmm.
when you open the door that you were unable to enter the room.
That's distressing.
And leotards were among them.
I'm sure they were. That sounds like quite a melange.
Yes. And beneath it all was a cake.
Was that like the reward if you were able to get to the center? No, or
the cake was under a
punishment?
Desk.
Oh, God. That's right. I remember the cake. Wait, was there... There was a cake. There was also a pot of mac and cheese, wasn't there?
That was a different situation. But yes, okay. I am actually now folding time and space, much like Oprah, The Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, and Billy Pilgrim.
More like Oprah. I am folding it all up because those are different rooms that I have now stitched into one room.
Oh, different rooms and open doors.
Yes, the cake, the pile of leotards, and the... mac and cheese were different rooms.
Well, so it says that Miracle's Mess, Miracle is Tookie's sister, of course, Miracle's Mess had invaded every corner in the same way mildew grew on tub tile.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think that's an effective line.
Sure.
I think that's good writing
sure.
for a moment. Dirty clothes are piled on the floor, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Tookie is a little, I think, disappointed? Oh, bothered, it says,
mm-hmm.
that Miracle is going to be walking on the day of discovery with a smize.
Yes.
She wasn't sure why it bothered her so much. Everyone in her class was walking. Are they?
Well, I think...
There's only 7 smizes, right?
Oh, you don't need a smize to walk.
Oh, it just increases your chance.
To 91%.
Oh.
But you can be day of discovered without a smize.
Like ivory, how it kills... No, wait, it's 99.44% pure.
99.44.
You gotta clean as real as ivory. Nothing less, nothing more. I gotta be clean, that's for sure. I gotta clean as real as ivory.
It's my favorite song from Cats.
She closed her fingers around the newly defective Took button. This piece of Theophilus fit perfectly in the heart of her palm.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, a nice line. I think this is a well-written chapter.
Look, this is a great book.
And then we descend into her imaginings.
Uh-huh.
She envisions herself kissing Theophilus.
She does do that, yeah.
She says, she has a very romantic line here,
mm-hmm.
James. This is what I want you to say next time we embrace.
Now, understand, yes. This is a young lady who has yet to experience the flowering of her inner erotic life.
Theophilus, she thought. Oh, yes, baby. I'm so happy you're giving me my very first kiss. What a thing to say. What a thing to say. If somebody said that to me while I was kissing them, I'd say, good night.
Matthew.
Yes?
There are going to be some romantic scenes later.
Oh, I can't wait.
And
James,
I want you
romance.
To... If you're setting the bar
mm-hmm.
now there,
mm.
you're going to have to do the bunny hop.
What do you think I do all day?
Hop, hop, hopping.
Okay, so Tookie falls asleep.
Yep.
And then she wakes up.
Oh, but she gets caught.
Oh, yeah, she's making out with the mirror.
She's making out with the mirror. That's where the title of the chapter
comes from.
Yes,
oh, that's the smacking the mirror with her lips.
And
smack, smack.
The miracle says it's okay that she hasn't had her first kiss yet.
Mm.
The miracle, now, miracle here is not a monster.
No, she actually seems rather supportive.
So
maybe when Brian's not around, she's all right.
This is something that I think is worth paying attention to, is that Miracle is maybe one of the most rounded characters in the book.
Oh, no. She's flawed. She's imperfect. She's a bit shallow and uninterested in self-improvement, but she also has... wants and dreams. She has feelings about the people around her. She engages with them. She makes choices.
Well, also, she makes fun of her sister.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you will find that there isn't a ton of heart in the book. But where there is some, it's in strange places.
Mm.
And Miracle is one of those places.
Yeah, yeah. Not what I would have expected, but yeah. So she falls asleep, Tookie,
mm-hmm.
And then she wakes up standing in the doorway between the kitchen and the living room, and mm-hmm. she thinks, how did I get here? So even in her own sleep experience,
yes.
she has no agency.
Correct.
Anyway, so she spies
on
her
father. She chose
to
kiss a mirror.
She did choose to kiss a mirror, that is true.
She does...
No, she didn't even choose to do that. She just went
into a
daydream.
Happened.
Yes.
You're right, she went into a reverie,
yeah.
and it just happened to her.
It was a transport of infatuation.
Right. So, yes, she's watching her father at night.
So he's doing a little acrobatics, but he appears to be drunk, and he's reliving his glory days when he was more athletic, I suppose.
You know that how when you're all washed up, you do drunk acrobatics?
You know, James...
What?
I would not expect to come out into the living room to see you doing drunk acrobatics, but if I did...
Yeah.
I think I would be supportive.
I think you'd be turned on.
Everything turns me on.
What?
Everything you do, James, excites me.
How dare you?
I like you a lot.
I stole the baby's breath.
Anyway, the point is, she watches her father, and she remembers at an early, a young age.
She was eight, I believe.
She what?
Eight, I believe.
Yes. They were in the circus.
Well, her father was in the circus,
yeah. And her mother was a circus wife.
Yep, she was.
And she applied some makeup or screen polish.
So her father was going to attempt a never-before-attempted trapeze stunt from a seventh-story platform above a arena of five-foot swords.
Mm.
And they were in the audience. This is a Cirque du Soleil analog. Analogy, allegory. It's a cautionary
tale.
It's
one of those.
Anyway, there's a circus tent, and the ground is ringed with 5-foot swords pointed blade up. And Chris Kremcrobat, who was, boy, Tuki, because we get the book from her perspective, and the description of her dad at this phase in his life with his rippling muscles and his handsome face and his. Daddy's a little helper. So he is up on the trapeze. He's going to do a trick. But then, in the audience, there's a flash.
Yes. Where does it from? Where does it from?
Where does it from? You have to tell me. What's her name?
Creamy has applied cream to her body.
To her face, her wrinkly face.
Yes, because she wants to look her best. Surely, there's nothing wrong with that, but...
She wants to look her best because the photographers...
Yes.
...will want to photograph her after her husband does this incredible trick.
Yes. And so she applies this cream. It makes her very shiny. A beam of light reflects off of her, blinds Chris de la Creme.
Oh, it came off her mirror. It didn't come off her face.
Oh.
Yeah, she was applying
I thought...
Yeah?
She was so shiny from the cream.
Her face was so shiny. I mean, she is creamy.
Okay. Oh,
wait until you find out what her real name is. Oh, my God. Anyway.
So she has a cream... situation. The mirror reflects a little bit of light, not her creamy face.
Oh, it reflects a lot of light. It reflects the stage lights up into Chris Kremcrobat's eyes.
And then he says, wahahahoo.
And he falls 7 stories.
Yes. But lands gracefully and safely on his back.
Because he's a very good acrobat.
Yes, yes. Lands on his back, springs up safely, and then takes a bow and impales his eye on a sword.
On a 5-foot sword.
Yeah.
That is sticking blade end up out of the ground. So he falls 7 stories, is a great acrobat, so he tucks and rolls. He springs up to his feet fine, and then takes a bow and just goes eye first into one of these 5-foot swords.
Yep.
Tuki sees it all.
And then the mother says, don't tell anyone, basically.
Well, before that, Tuki goes to her father.
What does
she see?
Pools of blood.
And?
And the eye itself.
Staring at her.
Yes, accusingly.
It's like Edgar Allan Poe. What's her name? Tyra. How could I forget? Even says... Why? That's what the eye is saying. Why?
Yeah.
Also, there's chunks of flesh.
Yeah, it's real gruesome.
It's real gruesome.
This is gruesome.
It's a real tonal whiplash again.
If you were like, I want to see the fun book that Tyra Banks wrote about being a Fantasyland girl. Oh, boy. This is a fun time for all.
Yep. Chunks of flesh, pools of blood, and an eye staring at her from a 5-foot sword, asking, why? And then Mother says that no one must ever know where the light came from.
Oh, boy. I will point out that in this book that I'm reading, in the Kindle version,
yes,
it will show you when a line is highlighted by large numbers of users. And the line describing the eye has the dotted underline that means lots and lots of people who have read this book highlighted that one particular line.
It's a highlight.
Ever the devoted showman, he thrust himself forward into a deep bow, impaling his eye on one of the 5-foot swords at the perimeter of the stage. That's distressing.
Sure.
So anyway, that all happens. Tookie is broken out of her reverie by
Again.
The father noticing her, and she offers to spot him as he does his acrobatics there in the living room in the dead of night. She starts
goes back into another reverie.
Starts remembering things, and then he falls over. He falls over and gets mad at her, and he just makes her go away, and he looks at her in disgust.
He does. And it's also right when she thought they were having a connection.
Yeah, it's a real bummer.
It is a real bummer.
Mm. So anyway.
I think the Tyra is Dickensian.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
The absurdity of the suffering of Tookie is not unlike a Dickens orphan.
Yeah, yeah.
And the unreasonable and unwarranted just hatred everyone has for her.
I think you're right. I think there's a quality to this that feels dark in the same way that, like, I don't know, Oliver Twist or
A Tale of Two Kitties, Garfield 2.
Yeah, yeah. The crossover with Cats.
Meow, 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 meow. It's the modern Nicholas Nickleback.
Yep. Yes. Yes. So anyway, that brings us to the end of that chapter. Oh. Now we're on to chapter 6.
Yes. Well, we're not yet, but yes. For those of you reading along at home, and you should be, chapter 6 is up next. There was a movie starring Steve Martin called A Simple Twist of Fate that was based on one of the Dickens books. It might have been Nicholas Nickleby. I don't know. I don't think it's that one. Silas Marner, that's the one. Anyway, what I remember from it is, one, somebody freezes to death and becomes a snowman, kind of like in Jack Frost. But also, the Silas Marner man, Steve Martin, discovers a giant balloon with a harness. I don't know if he discovers it or he buys it or he makes it, but he has a big balloon with a harness and he can, like, leap very, very high. And at one point, the orphan who came into his life to warm the cockles of his dead heart is taken from him, I think. I don't know. I think that's what happens. And so he straps his balloon contraption on, his stupid balloon, and he leaps over hill and dale and village and whale, and he finds the babby and steals its breath.
Just as Charles Dickens imagined.
Exactly right. Am I making this up? A Simple Twist of Fate, Steve Martin. He has a balloon thing. He's a magic balloon.
I think that is correct. That sounds completely accurate.
It looks like you're looking it up, but I don't know if you are.
I was trying to recall that image, and because I watched not A Simple Twist of Fate, but I watched a Steve Martin collection when I was in college. I can't remember if it was in a class or what. We definitely saw a bunch of Roxanne.
Oh, sure, the nose.
The nose.
Cyrano.
But
Cyrano.
The images that you're describing, I recall from this Steve Martin experience that I had.
It's incredible.
20 years ago.
It's an indelible image. Steve Martin, the man
I remember.
Of the premature gray, though now it's quite distinguished.
Well, sure.
Leaping across the countryside.
Stunning. Statuesque.
With a balloon.
Strobotronic.
With a arrow through his head and a pharaoh's cowl. King Tut.
Do, 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 do,
it's not do. Actually funny, the King Tut song.
So the next chapter is stunning, statuesque, strobotronic stars with stupefying stratospheric struts.
That's correct.
I don't like that title.
Oh, wait. I'm trying to remember. How many words is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, I thought maybe that's what the 777 was, but... Or the... Not the 777, I'm sorry. The S7.
This... Well...
But there's 8.
There's... But only 7 that start with an S.
Oh, God. What?
There's a with in there.
Oh.
So if you only count the words that start with S...
Oh, that might be what a S7 is. I honestly... look, I've read this book 3 times. I don't know what a S7 is.
That's 3 more than the editor read it.
Well, should we talk about...
Yeah.
Tyra.
Well, yes, briefly, because James, how long have we been recording?
Not as long as usual.
Really?
Yeah.
How long?
50 friendly minutes.
Okay, so we've got 10 minutes to talk about Tyra.
Tyra.
Joanne wanted us to talk about how during the first season hosting America's Got Talent, Tyra was carrying a copy of Model Land in the behind the scenes clips where she's talking to the judges in the green room.
Wow. I mean, I can only assume it's either so that someone would talk about it or just product placement.
Well, I wonder if she was thinking that somebody might ask her about it or maybe ask her to read from it.
Well, maybe. Imagine that if it was broadcast on national television. Krish Krembrobat bending at the waist and impaling his eye for Tuki to see.
So I watched a bit. I was trying to find actual footage of this.
Yes.
And I did not find a video clip.
Oh.
Just a photo that I think Joanne sent. But I did find a clip of Tyra hanging out with people in the behind the scenes room.
Oh.
And at the end, she turns to the camera and she says, "It's always a party in the Dunkin' Donuts lounge." The nerve. The nerve of someone saying a line like that.
You know, here at Jordan's Furniture, it's always a party in the Dunkin' Donuts lounge.
Imagine if you went to Dunkin' Donuts and there was a lounge.
Great.
I'm just making myself comfortable. I'm lounging.
You've had the marshmallow, now have the donut.
Get your ass to marshmallow.
Get your ass to marshmallow, and when you're done with that, come sit in my fucking donut.
So, there's a lot to say about Tyra. In short... She seems to think she's opening an amusement park.
Yeah. Well, she thinks she's creating an experience like Garnet.
Yeah. You are an experience, Tyra.
Well, she certainly is. I think it might be a bad one, but she is an experience.
Yes.
And that's not to speak to the quality of Model Land or besmirch it at all. I think Tyra might be a villain. Like in real life, I think she might be a bully and a mean, like... Not actually good?
Well, you know, in watching some of her treatment of people on America's Top Model...
Yeah.
Or Test... America's Next Test Model?
Test... Take her out for a test drive.
Sure. Beep, beep. Hello.
Get in my Jeep.
So, yeah, she has announced that she is creating an attraction set to open in late 2019 in Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
A multi-level 21,000 square foot space, which will include retail and dining options... Open to the public who can buy tickets.
It's a mall.
Model Land.
That you buy tickets to.
They're calling it Model Land.
Uh-huh.
Is going to be... This is from an article that was just a rewrite of a press release.
Yeah.
Model Land is going to be a place where the modeling world meets fantasy, meets entertainment, meets technology, meets retail, meets dining, meets your fiercest best self you could ever imagine.
It's a mall. Anyway.
I wanted... This is a quote from Tyra. I wanted Model Land to go beyond just a place to go to, but to be a place to feel emotion.
I'm
feeling
emotions.
A place to feel emotions.
Sure.
James, I've been dead inside. No, I haven't. I have too many emotions.
You have a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine if I went to this place, I'd blow up?
Blah.
The extra special treat is at the attraction, in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Well?
She says, robust retail offering and experiential dining.
Mm-hmm.
It's my goal that with every Model Land forthcoming that we grow, perhaps doubling in size each time, so there's opportunity to offer new, bigger, and better delights.
You know, if it doubles each time, how many of them do we have to have before it takes over
the world,
the planet?
That's true. Yeah, it's exponential growth that threatens us all.
Yeah.
Without getting into specifics, she says, which that's merciful, there will be content elements that are programmable throughout the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
The producer and storyteller in me cannot resist.
Yeah, of course not.
There's IP that will span into features, TV, streaming, and beyond.
Sure.
Space? What does that mean? Beyond what?
I think your dreams. I think you'll enter a reverie much like Tuki, whether you want to or not.
The opportunities with Model Land are endless.
That's scary. It's true, though. I mean, there's no end to opportunity.
So that was an article on Variety.com.
Yes.
And there were some comments on that article.
Yes.
Including one from a person who identifies themselves as Jeanette Beverly Moss.
Uh-huh.
Jeanette Beverly Moss says, I am 77 years of age, soon to be 78 in April. I am ready to find a new me. Beauty, body, my mind, and my hunger for righteousness in God. I look forward to be a visitor at your new Model Land. Congratulations, Tyra. I've always loved your energy, style, and adventure in the business world. I am going to arrive at your Model Land sooner rather than later. Love you.
I mean, it does sound like a suicide note that she's going to arrive in heaven.
Mm.
But here's the thing.
You have a theory.
Tyra wrote that. That's not an actual person. There is not an actual 77-year-old woman who's congratulating Tyra on her adventures in business. Tyra wrote that.
I don't know which I want to be true.
I have read Model Land.
You have, cover
to cover.
And
then I read it cover to cover until I recovered.
You haven't.
I haven't yet, because now I'm
There's no recovering from this.
I am seeing Tyra in every nook and cranny of my Thomas's English Muffin, and I see her hoof prints all over this moss person. What is it? It's Jeanette.
Oh, Jeanette Beverly Moss.
Jeanette Beverly Moss. It sounds like a character from Model Land.
Yeah.
Talks like a character from Model Land. It walks like a character from Model Land. It wants to go to Model Land.
Yeah. That's the most Model Land thing about it.
By the time I'm 78, I will go to your Model Land one way or another. One way or another, I gotta smize now. So here's what it's gonna be.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a shitty mall where there's some like app that you can use that like puts a fucking smize on your face. I'm sorry. This is Cozy Pants. We're meant to be upbeat and we've already talked about the whipped cream fiasco and the babby's breath and the creme crobat eyeball.
Yeah.
This was meant to be nice. I'm sorry. You're supposed to relax.
I am relaxed.
We talked about cats.
James, I'm going to relax with you in the bed in just a few minutes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we're going to get cozy.
Oh, but here's the thing, Jeanette Moss. You're not real. You are Tyra Banks.
Congratulations.
Even if Jeanette Moss... Jeanette Moxie, I like her Moxie.
Yep.
Even if Jeanette isn't Tyra, isn't there a little Tyra in all of us? You know, you can't spell tyrant without Tyra.
I guess that's true.
The Tyrant Lizard King. That's her. Tyrosaurus Rex.
You also can't...
I sound more drunk than Chris Creme Crobat.
You do.
Tyrosaurus Rex.
So in speculating about what exactly this park will be, the delightful Fraser Tripp wrote to me to inform us about this attraction.
Yes, he's an attraction himself.
And said, I'm sure, speaking of Tyra, I'm sure she can't even fathom what the end result will be. Mm-hmm. No doubt, imagination will be key in the development. Rainbow emoji. I think
that sounds right.
Yeah, I think that's right on the money. She doesn't know what it's going to be. They're going to unveil the thing, and it's going to be like the Homer-mobile.
Bah! It's going to be...
that noise. That's the noise it makes when you honk the horn.
It's going to be the world's worst rainforest cafe. I look forward to what it is. I think it's going to be a weird mall concept that doesn't quite work, that probably gets whittled down to just a store with like a restaurant in it, maybe. There'll be some app that goes with it where you can put like Tyra themed filters on your face, or put a wig on yourself, you know,
put
what
a wig
they
on
said
it.
Yeah, they said if you want it then you should have put a wig on it, and you can at Model Land, and you can also experience in stunning virtual reality the experience of falling 7 stories onto a sword and having your eye come out and yell, why?
Mm.
That's Model Land.
That's something to look forward to.
I mean,
to.
That's one of the things I love about these stories about Model Land, the live experience, is that the people who reference the book clearly haven't read it. Because they'll either say, first of all, they sometimes say series of books, which is something Tyra planned but didn't do. But they'll say, like, you know, it's based on her series of young adult books, based on her experiences in the modeling world. Are they? Well, are these her experiences?
The things she must have seen.
Wow. Well, she can't see them anymore because her eyes came out and yelled, why?
Oh, boy.
The smizes coming out of the sludge. I mean, maybe that's a metaphor. I don't know. Maybe she feels like she crawled through sludge to get a smize.
I'll tell you this. If you do go to Model Land,
yeah?
Don't drink from the water fountains there.
Well, you know, there's a lot of disgusting things described, and you still haven't even gotten to, like, the Pilgrim Plague.
The what? The Pilgrim Plague?
Oh, yeah. In the Diabolical Divide?
Great. Definitely something to look forward to.
There's some real fucked up shit that happens. Like, I feel like there's a dwarf who has mouths in the pits of his knees, but I don't think that's true. There's definitely, like, a living vagina that's made up of 1,000 legs and 1,000 screams.
This is like something from the Bible.
Sure, it's a serif. It's a sans serif font of knowledge and love. And here's the thing, Matthew. You don't want to go to the Diabolical Divide and get the Pilgrim Plague.
I don't think I do, no.
You don't want to be consumed by the razor-sharp vagina of 1,000 legs and 1,000 screams. It's... Oh, you know, it's... I often think of it as the gaping monster from Dark Souls, but it's maybe more like a creature from Frankenhooker.
Huh. Yeah, no, it's like it's like sort of a Hieronymus Bosch horror film. One of those like trauma style
yes.
gross out monsters.
Oh my God, that is who needs the movie rights to this.
Oh.
Lloyd Kaufman, if you're listening.
Make Model Land.
And I bet you are. You need to make Model Land and make it with James Gunn because he needs work. He got his start with Lloyd Kaufman. Making Tromeo and Juliet and I think Troma's War? And Tromeo eats the popcorn from Juliet's pregnant belly and then plays with the rats that come out of them. There's a gay Mercutio, which isn't terribly original, but I think he had a little hammer with Hitler's face on it. So that's good.
That yeah, that does... I don't think I've ever seen the full movie.
Lemmy from Motorhead is the narrator. Is he? No, maybe he's not.
No,
I think he's in it, but I don't know that he's the narrator.
These are investigations that we can continue next week, because I think we're both starting to fade.
Oh.
It's time for us to cuddle in the sheets.
Do you remember when Juliet
and
takes the potion?
And snuggle in the streets.
That turns her into
no.
a cow?
Okay, well now it's definitely time for us to go to bed, because I'm getting hot and bothered.
Well, because she turns into a cow, but then for no reason, she also has a giant floppy dick.
I remember that, yes. You did show me that.
And she laughs and twirls it.
Yes. Yes. And makes a milkshake.
Yeah, very true.
Well, this has been our most disgusting episode yet.
It's not a good one.
So...
I'm sorry, we can't do this when I'm falling asleep.
Yeah, maybe we'll do this when you're a little more alert next time.
Maybe. But I'm just a baby. Goo-goo.
Okay. Oh, it's the return of the baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Yep. All right. I'm going to brush your teeth and put you to bed.
Oh, go go. Change me.
Okay.
Papa. Okay. Do you remember your dream that I called you Bald Papa?
You love it when I call you Bald Papa.
Yeah.
I just love you.
Papa Bald.
Okay. Bald Papa.
That's your pizza.
I dreamt that was your name for me. Yeah. And I can't get mad at you for that because it was my dream.
It was your dream and it's a good name.
All right, you criminal. I'm going to put you to bed.
You did it.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. It's always a pleasure to chat with you, James, to you.
No.
I hope you're enjoying the show and please send us your questions. Send us stuff that you'd like to talk about. Send us your love. And we will see you next week. Tookie de la creme.
In the name of love.